Heavenly Father, I do pray that you give me grace, Lord, to speak boldly as I ought to speak, and not to please men, but God, to please you. Father, I sure am thankful for this opportunity. I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for all you do for me. Establish my thoughts now in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, let me catch up with you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth, meaning the person that professes to be in Christ, the person that professes to be a part of the church of the living God, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, I'm going to make a very important observation. I wonder how many of you have made this observation. In John chapter 13, we won't go there for the sake of time, but in John chapter 13, we find the Lord Jesus Christ on his hands and knees washing the feet of the future apostles. We see him there, the Lord of glory, the great I am, the one that says, before the foundations of the earth was laid, there I was, I am. We see the one there that made it all, the one that breathed it all into existence, the one that is called in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days, the one that is above everything and holds everything together by the word of his power. We find him down on his hands and knees, scrubbing the feet of the future apostles. Now we're all very accustomed to that Jesus, the meek servant, the lowly servant, down on his hands and knees, serving other people. And we ought to imitate Christ in that. But I wonder how many people in this congregation have ever given any thought to this. We are not only to imitate Christ in his serving, in his humility, but we are to imitate Christ in his warrior-like attitude. We are to imitate Christ in his passion. We are to imitate Christ in drawing a sword and, my friend, hating evil and fighting evil and standing up against evil men and evil women. We are to stand in righteousness. Have you ever thought about this? In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and if you would, just come there with me, Revelation 21, and verse 8. I want you to consider this, my dear friend. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says this. Just notice the first phrase. But the fearful. Who? The fearful. The ones whose lives have an overall tenor, an overall tone and sound of fear. The fearful. The fearful, the cowardly ones are lumped in with who? The unbelievers, the abominable, murderers, idolaters, and liars. Now, does that come as a surprise to you? Does that surprise you? Do you understand why? We are commanded in the Bible to go to God for strength. To do what? To stand for what's right. My dear friend, to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand against men that are so bold as to make their opinions public. And understand this, the Democrats and all the people that stand against what you say you hate, my dear friend, they are on the front line, they are fighting the battle, they are gaining ground, and I wonder, my dear friend, how many representatives that Christian people have all over this nation. How many Christians are standing against homosexuality and abortion and rank immorality in the ranks of the churches? Have you ever stood for what's right? It's very safe to say that if the Church of the Living God made a habit of standing against evil, my dear friend, she'd be in a lot more trouble than she is. But here it is, my dear friend. The contemporary evangelical church of 2022 is in hiding. She's in hiding. She's not fighting a war. She's not gone to war against the devil and his imps. She's hiding. You are not called to hide. You are not called to make a good impression on people. You are called to fight the devil. You are called to stand in the power of God, in the boldness of the Spirit, against all that would be so bold as to stand against you and their homosexuality, so as to stand against you and their wickedness. My dear friend, the drag queens are in the school, after school skate, Satan Club is in the school, and my dear friend, where's the Christians represented? Where's the Church of the Living God? She's sleeping. She has been indicted for her cowardice. We say that the God of glory stands behind us and undergirds us in His strength, but what in the world does the Church of the Living God need the Lord God Almighty for in this day? She is comfortable. She has everything she needs. And my dear friend, I don't want to digress because I want to get into the meat of this and I only have 6 minutes. But understand this, there's so many people living in fear right now. There's so many people that are not living in the confidence that God will do for His people and will take care of His people regardless of what Vladimir Putin has to say or whatever he has to do or whatever happens in Europe and all over the world and China, no matter what. How many Christian people are standing on the rock solid ground that no matter what world leaders are doing, no matter what the climate looks like, no matter how hot it is, no matter how cold it is, and no matter how these wicked people stand against us, the Lord God Almighty is in control of this thing. I wonder how many people are living with that kind of confidence in God in these uncertain days. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. If you want to turn there with me, I invite you to. What does the Bible say about the conduct of redeemed people? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 8 says, 28 verse 1, excuse me, says this, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, God's people." The people washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. What is their conduct? They are bold as a lion. They are bold as a lion. They're not afraid to bow their chest out, not arrogantly, my friend, not condescendingly, but they are not afraid to tell the truth. They are not afraid to stand for what's right. We are to be bold and lion-like in our roar in this world. Yes, my dear friend. Oh, 4 minutes. In 1 Kings 18, we see the prophet Elijah, and you are familiar with the story. 1 Kings chapter 18, here's some examples of the way to act like a Christian. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to fly all the way down. You know, this is the showdown on Mount Carmel. All the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Ashtoreth, they have all gathered themselves together there. They are in defiance against God. Like many people, like many big-mouth atheists, many big-mouth lesbians and LGBTQ, they are gathered against the people of God. And Elijah, the man of God, that is likened unto one of the most godly men in the Bible, how does he treat them? How does he stand against them? Does he walk up to them like a little mousy boy and say, "Can I give you a gospel track? Would you mind? Can we be friends? Can I please? Okay, you don't want, I'll come back later." No, what does he say? Ready? Verse 27. "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them." You say, "No. No, it's not godly to mock. It's not godly to make fun of another point of view." But Elijah, the man of God, mocked them. And so what'd he say? Cry aloud. "Hey, maybe you should cup your hands. Your God can't hear you. He can't hear you. What's going on? He's a God. I thought he was a God. Maybe he's talking. He's not listening. He's talking to his God friend. Or maybe he's running after somebody. He's pursuing her. Maybe he's on a journey. Or maybe he's taking a nappy. Okay? And they freaked out. And guess what? If you stand up for what's right against these people, my dear friend, they're going to do the same. They are going to freak out. They're going to tell the supervisor. They're going to tell their friends. They're going to call everybody they know. Yes, my dear friend. You know, I'm going to close. Turn with me to Psalm 106. I want to show you. I invite you to read this passage when you get home. We're going to be Psalm 106 just briefly, and then we're going to turn over to the book of Numbers. What kind of person is God happy with? Psalm 106, verses 28 through 31. They join themselves unto Baal Peor. He's about to recount a historical account in the Old Testament. And it is very important that you understand that warfare in the Old Testament, my dear friend, you have to sit down and reconcile the war and the fighting and the bloodshed in the Old Testament with how we are supposed to be now. It doesn't. The Old Testament is not irrelevant. No, we're to understand that we are at war. Nothing has changed in that regard other than we are not physically killing people anymore. I don't have the time to get into that. They joined themselves in the Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him, that is God, to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed, here it is, and executed, are you ready? Executed judgment. You say he judged people? Yes, he did. He looked and assessed the situation, and I'm going to read it as fast as possible. And so the plague was stayed. God's people were being destroyed because they were committing idolatry. They were dying by the thousands. And this man saw the situation. He's the high priest's son. He was responsible. He didn't sit around there. I'll just tell you what happened in closing. At the mouth of the tabernacle, there was a group of people weeping because the congregation had joined themselves to the children of Moab. They had married the world. They had given themselves over to idolatry. And understand, there were faithful. There was a faithful bunch that were at the door of the tabernacle. And they were weeping and they were crying and they were pleading with God for mercy. And people were dropping dead everywhere. People were dying all over the place. And there's this man, Phinehas, right in the middle of everything. He's watching people die. He sees the faithful weeping. It's a big mess. The whole thing's falling apart. And he said, here comes this man right here. There was an Israeli prince. He comes in with a Moabitish princess. And he goes, takes her in the tent. And he did it right in front of Moses, the man of God. The text tells you, mark it. Numbers 25, go home and read it. They had this flagrant attack. The Moabites come in. And they're taking over. And this man, Phinehas, saw that man's flagrant act of disobedience. Did it right in front of God's man. Had no respect whatsoever. Phinehas said, not in my church. He said, not in my camp. You're not going to do that here. And what happened? He grabbed his spear. He ran into the tent. He took his spear and he killed them both. Boom! On the spot. Ran them both through with the spear. And what did God think about that? He said, this man has my covenant of peace. This man, I'm going to establish his family for generation after generation after generation. Why? Because he stood up for me. Because he fought for me. Because he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the cost. He said, I'm going to fight for God. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to war for God. And God, my friend, said, your kids are mine. Your family after you to 1,000 generations is mine, dear friend. And if you found Phinehas' descendants right now, I want you to know that the Lord God Almighty still has His arms wrapped around him, because He made Phinehas a promise, because Phinehas was not afraid of men. He stood with an iron backbone and said, I will not stand by while the world comes and takes over everything. We are not called to be passive. We are not called to hide and try to make good impressions on people. We are called to be bold. Bold as a lion. Amen.